Okay, Rabbi Isai. We'll get now in the final inning here of the sugya. The Gemara goes through the last couple of tziyurim. The Gezel actually is the most protrusive, so we're going to be aiming on that more. The Gemara asks, Vahare Gezel, Dirachmona Omar Lois Igzoil. The Torah said that there's an Isser Gezela, Utnan, and we learned, Hagoizel Eitzim Vason Kalim, if somebody steals wood and he turns the wood into Kalim, the halacha is Mishalim Kishasak Zela. He pays like the Shasak Zela, meaning he owns the Kalim. The Kalim now are his Kalim. He owns the Kalim. So now it's to use the Rava. According to the Rava, this shinui should not be effective. Omer Rava, Shani Yosom Domakro Asher Gozal, Kemoshe Gozal. The Torah says, the Heshiv is Hakzela Asher Gozal, you should only give it back if it's the way you stole it. You made a shinui, so you don't have to return it. So this is very difficult. The Gemara then says, what does Abaye do with the Pasuk Asher Gozal? The Gemara says, "Ula Abaye Hayasher Gozal." What does he do with Asher Gozal? Miboyele, the halacha is if somebody stole something and swears falsely, and then at the end he admits that he stole and he swore falsely, he has to give back the keren and the chaimish. So the halacha is al gzeiloi shaloi moisif chaimish, al gzeiloi shal aviv einin moisif chaimish. So we'll see if this remains in the maskana. But at this point, the Gemara is taking on that according to Abaye, there's a separate pasuk that teaches you that din, that you don't add a chaimish to your father's gzeila, even though you swore. That's Rashi, adds on that knetch. Obviously, if you didn't swear, why would you add a chaimish to what your father stole? It's talking about you swore falsely, but since the maisik gzeila was done by the father, so therefore you don't have to add a chaimish. And according to Rava, you need a pasuk to teach you that shinui is kain. So several things come to mind in this Gemara. First of all, if the Gemara didn't yet know that there's a pasuk that shinui is kaina, why is the Gemara asking only on Rava? Stam, hechtesu that there's a bechlala kinyan of shinui. The Gemara at this point didn't yet know that there's such a thing called as a kinyan shinui. What's the Gemara asking? The Gemara asks, I don't understand. What's pshat Rava? According to Rava, if you do a shinui to an object, you should still have to give it back. So according to Abaye, it's good because you have it mahani. According to Abaye, even if you go against the Torah, it's effective. But according to Rav, it shouldn't be good. The Gemara says, well, there's a pasuk. And the Gemara brings the standard pasuk for gzeila. Asher Gozal, if you look up the sugya in Bava Kama, that is the sugya that the Gemara uses for the fact that shinui is a kinyan. Asher Gozal. That is the source. There is no other source, l'chayre, that you're kind of an object that you stole and you make a shinui. So if the Gemara wasn't aware of that pasuk, after we have that pasuk, there's no question on Rava. The Torah says it works. Before we have that pasuk, then it's not understandable why, according to anybody, you should have a kinyan on a gzeila. So what does it have to do with anything? All the cases that we gave till now had a precedent that it should work. Whether it's a Maisa Gerishin, whether it's a Maisa Kedushin, whether it's a Maisa Hektish, all these things have an existing ability to activate. Now I happen to have done it through an Avera. So it's a Shaila, it shouldn't work. So according to Abaye, it works. And according to Rav, it doesn't work. But here, there's no precedent b'chlal that it should work without the pasuk of Asher Gozal. So if that's the halacha that there's no din of shinui by gneva, it wouldn't work at all. But yet the Gemara is assuming that according to Abaye, shinui would work by gneva anyway. Shinui would work even without any pasuk. To the point that the Gemara goes and uses the pasuk for something else. But yet if there's no pasuk, why should it work at all? Why are you only asking on Abaye? just doesn't make sense. On Rav, it's a kasha is equal on Abaye until you bring a pasuk. Another kasha is asked in the Machne Ephraim and the Nesivis. They ask a different kasha. How could the Gemara even have a Havamina that Shinui has anything to do with Kol Milsadom Rachmona Lo Yisofet, when we know that a Shinui Anasa Me'elov is also a kind? So in other words, if I steal something, and through nature the thing changes, naturally the thing changes. I put the thing out on my porch, it freezes, and because of it freezes, it deforms, and it goes from being one type of keli into being another type of keli. The halacha is, it's yours, even though you did nothing. Actually, you were getting ready to give it back. You were preparing to give it back. And l'maisa, the weather conditions molded the keli, made it into something else. The halacha is that keli is yours now. You give back dung. You don't have to give back the keli anymore. So ask the nesivus. There, clearly, you didn't do any ma'isa avera. And yet, the shinui works. So how could the Gemara have a... What's the Gemara's kasha on Rava? Shinui koina has nothing to do with Lo Yisovet. Because shinui is going with a different track. Varaya, shinui works where it has nothing to do with Geneva. Shinui works if it happens by a natural disaster. Also shinui is koina. So how could the Gemara even have a Havamina or L'chayra Maskana? Because L'chayra, the Gemara seems to hold the Maskana that way as well. That the Shinui Koina should be totally in whether you hold Kol Milsadom Rachmona Yovid Mahani, Yovid Loi Mahani. That seems to be the flow of the Gemara. Yet we know that Shinui Koina has nothing to do with Avera. Because Shinui is Koina when it has nothing to do with the Geneva. So this is a kasha that the Nesiva says, very powerful kasha. The Ktzois says a tremendous, tremendous chiddush. In the Shulchan Aruch, in this halacha, the Ktzais brings down Simon Shin Samach Aleph. He says there would be a Havamina that there's no Kinyon Egneva. So the way the Ktzais sees it is as follows. He sees that Shinui is not a Kinyon. It's a process. There's a Kinyon Gneva. So when you steal something, you get certain Kinyonim. Those Kinyonim are insufficient for you to keep it. But you have certain kinyanei geneva. You chayv an achrayis. You have already an association with this object. Now this object that I stole, if I make a shinui to it, that's layer two. So now I got layer two on the object. Now the object becomes mine. Says the Ktzais that really what the Gemara is asking is that there shouldn't be kinyanei geneva on the object. So though the Gemara seems to be saying that the shinui shouldn't work, the Ktzais, the way he sees it, is that the Kinyanei Geneva shouldn't work, and therefore the Shinui wouldn't be effective. So the Gemara doesn't really mean to say that the Shinui shouldn't work, because for that, the Ktzais agrees with the Nesivus, that it's illogical to say a Shinui shouldn't work, because Shinui works even if you didn't do any mice at all. It happened by itself. So he says, therefore, it must be that the Gemara really is debating that the Kinyanei Geneva shouldn't be there. And therefore, the Shinui later would be ineffective. That's what the Ktzais says. The problem with this Ktzais is that by the Ktzais recommending such an idea, he's really suggesting also that there shouldn't be achrayus on the object. See, the Kinyanei Geneva are not there for the milah of the ganav. The Kinyanei Geneva are there for the milah of the nignav, the one who you stole it from. If there wouldn't be Kinyanei Geneva, because there are Kinyanei Geneva, if somebody steals something, and something totally out of control happens to it, nothing to do with the fact that you stole it. Somebody steals something and the town gets flooded. Okay? So he takes it out of a driveway on the address of 73, and he places the vehicle in his driveway address number 56. Meanwhile, the entire road gets underwater. There's a national catastrophe. And the whole area is underwater. Okay, so whether the car would have been in your driveway, the Ganav's driveway, or by the Nignav's driveway, the car would have had the same damage. The halacha is, you can't say Arei Shel Cholofanecha. You can't say you take it. Because since you are Koine Kinyanei Geneva, since you have Kinyanei Geneva in the object, you can't say Arei Shel Cholofanecha, it's yours. The Nignav turns to you and says, listen, you stole my car, My car now is your car. And all I know is you got to give me back the car. Basically went completely into your domain. And therefore, the halacha is that you're chayev to, the ganav is chayev to pay. So we can't take away the kinyanei geneva from the ganav. Because the kinyanei geneva primarily are there to benefit the nignav, not to benefit the ganav. The ganav is the big loser on the kinyanei geneva. The ganav doesn't really care if he owns the object or not. He wouldn't be a ganav if that really mattered to him. He's a ganav, he's a thief. Okay? So the kinyanei geneva, what they do is, they hurt him. Because no matter what happens to the object, he becomes the baal achrayus because it went into his domain. It's like a shoyel. Why is a shoyel chayv and everything? Because a shoyel, the object goes completely into the domain of the shoyel. Kol hanor shaloi. So pretty much, the more the object remains in the original owner's rishus, the less responsibility there is on the shemer. Okay? So the more it goes into the domain of the person who's the outsider, the bigger benefit there is for the owner of the object. The owner of the object is gaining by the object leaving his domain when it's by the other person, because there's more achrayas on it. So that being the case, it doesn't make sense, l'chora, to say that the Gemara and the Havamina held that we would take away the kinyanei geneva from the ganav. Because taking away the kinyanei geneva from the ganav wouldn't make sense. Unless the district Ktzayis doesn't clarify this. Unless maybe the Ktzayis feels that we would take away all the potential benefits of the kinyanei geneva and still treat him with all the kinyanei geneva to his detriment. But that's almost like that's a tarte disasri. To say that he has kinyanei geneva, but he doesn't have kinyanei geneva. We look at it like he has kinyanei geneva, but we don't look at it like he has kinyanei geneva. It's a stira. If he has, either he has kinyanei geneva, he doesn't have kinyanei geneva. And if he has kinyanei geneva, so then the shini is a natural occurrence. We go back to the Nesivus' question. The shini is a natural occurrence. If the haraya, even if the shini happens by itself, it you're kind of the chafetz. So it goes back. How could the Gemara have a havamina that this should be the issue of the Yavad Mahani and the Yavad Leimani? So we'll get back to this. What do you mean? The ganav is chayiv and einsim. What happens if an armed group of terrorists come to the ganav and take the object? Does he have to give back the owner money? Yes. Why? No, but I'm saying, what's veheshiv zakzeila? No, but I'm saying this, until something happens to it, does he have chiyuv einsim on that object? Yes. No, but that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, this object that he has to return, right? The fact that he has to give back money, that's a separate issue. That he has to do even after shinui is kind of. The fact that he has to give back this object, and that he's chayv b'achrayus on this object, that's not chal when he steals it? No. Of course it is. But that would make it even more difficult. Because if you would be right, then the Ktzayis is b'chlam not answering the kasha. If you would be right, then when would the kinyanei geneva kick in by a normal shinui that happens by itself? When the shinui happens. So then we're back to Nesivus' kasha. The whole Nesivus' kasha is, it can't be that there's a loy savid by something that happens by itself. Right? That's the Nesivus' question. So how could shinui be part of this category? We're not answering the kasha. Okay. So now the Gemara goes to a list of other cases. Mashkin. The Gemara asks for Mashkin. What, the fact that you see that the Torah says that you should give it back is a raya that you own the Mashkin. Even though you weren't supposed to take the Mashkin, you own the Mashkin. The Gemara says that's not a kasha because since it says Hoshev Toshev, it's a raya that you own it. Gemara then asks from Peah, Tarei Peah, and yet we see that even if after you didn't take pay, the chi of pay remains. So you see, kol mulsa dom rachman ulei savadi ovad loy mahani. That's a tiyufta on abaya. The Gemara says again, there's a pasuk omar krozev tazev. Then the Gemara asks from then the Gemara just says, according to the extra pasuk is used for mafkir karmai. So now the Gemara comes to a conclusion. The Gemara says, now what's going on? Omali Ravacha Bere de Rovala Ravashi, the bottom four lines. Omali Ravacha Bere de Rovala Ravashi. Bottom line is we asked kashas from all over Shas. We resolved all the kashas. Wherever it works. According to Abaye, you don't need a pasuk. According to Rova, there is a pasuk. So there really is no machloikas la'alocha between Abaye and Rova. Ask the Gemara, the Abaye and Rova b'may kamiflugi. We don't want to say that the whole machloikas Abaye and Rova is not halachic. You could say, you know, there's takano machloikas Abaye and Rova. The whole machloikas Abaye and Rova is how to understand all these cases. The Gemara is saying that's not mistaver. It's mistaver that there's halacha machlekes. What is the machlekes? So the Gemara jumps to Ribbis Ksutza, which we'll see what that is. Tosfos says, if you look at the bottom Tosfos, V'yim toimar, neimo de pligi bohochi. Let's say there's a simple dispute. Odom kegoin, odom shenishba, sheloi legare shes ishtoi. Person made a shvua, not to divorce his wife, and then he went ahead and divorced her. V'achakach ovar v'girusha. Then he went and he divorced her. The labaya mahani, ulerov aloy mahani, kiven do ovar memer derachmona. Tosfos comes up with an interesting chiluk. Tosfos says, why didn't the Gemara say in conclusion that there is a chiluk between Abaye and Rova? The chiluk between Abaye and Rova would be if somebody would swear not to divorce their wife, and they went and they did it anyway. So according to Abaye, it would be effective, it would work, and according to Rova, it would not work. So now Tosfos drops mamish a bomb. The conclusion of the sugya, Tosfos drops a big bomb. He says, no. The yesh loymar, the kivon she'eino iser kemoi lo yuchal eshalcha, since this iser is not like a iser that the Torah put on the person, elo shehu boda ho iser, you created the iser. Meaning, all the cases that we had till now are pre-existing isurim that the Torah put on you. Kohen, don't marry a grusha. Whatever the case will be, don't marry an Kohen Gadol, don't marry an Almona, don't be makdim truma to be korim. All these things the Torah put on you. Shvua is something you put upon yourself. Torah says over there, b'chiyai gamna loy omar rova deloy mahani. Over there, Rava would agree that it works. So this is Tosfos' conclusion to the sugya of the Yavad loy mahani, that the only cases that get affected by Yavad Mahani, Yavad Loy Mahani, are only cases where it's pre-existing. Anything that you impose upon yourself is not part of the issue. That's what Tosfos says. So, besides to the fact that there are a couple of kashas from different sugis that are mashma, not like this Tosfos, the main kasha that all the Achronim ask on Tosfos is, what's the svara? What's the logic behind that? L'maisif, the Torah said loy savid. The Torah said that if you swear, you have to keep your promise. So, savada, who cares? If you impose it, if you didn't impose it, what's the difference? It shouldn't make an afkamina. What is the logic behind Tosfos's way of thinking? That's the kasha that's asked by many, many achroinim. What's the svara behind Tosfos's psak? Besides for that, we had a Tosfos earlier. If you turn to the beginning of the sugya, Daf Hey Amud Aleph. Tosfos says, the top Tosfos, Daf Hey Amud Aleph on the top, right in the middle of Tosfos, V'yesh Loimar, Iskish Gerishin Lemisa, Kida Omar Beperakama de Kiddushin, Iskis Misa Legerishin. Hachanami, just like there's a Hekish from Misa to Gerishin, there's a Hekish from Gerishin to Misa. Ma misa moitzi mishus habal, af gerishin moitzi. The Tosfos says that even Rava would agree that there's no such a thing as a get that's ineffective. No such thing as a get that's ineffective. Because there's a hekesh between misa and gerishin, and just like gerishin, just like misa is effective, if a guy dies, his wife is mutter, so gerishin also is always mutter. And therefore, says Tosfos, even according to Rava, who says, kol musa d'machmano le'sovedi ovid lo'y mahani, he would agree that gerishin has to be mahani. So ask Rav Yashiv, he says, I don't understand what Tosfos is saying over here, that he found a nafkamina between Abaye and Rava. If a guy made a shvui, he's not going to divorce his wife. That shouldn't be a chil between Abaye and Rava. That doesn't make sense. That should make an afkamina. That's his kasha. Now, halacha, there's a machloikis in the poiskim. What do we taka do if somebody swears that he won't do something? Do we say yovid mahani, or do we say yovid loy mahani? So in the Shulchan Aruch, in Choshen Mishpat, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that if you swore not to sell something, it's still effective. Shulchan Aruch is found in the end, Simen Reish Ches. Mekach shenase b'isir. So the Shulchan Aruch says as follows. Kigoin shenishba sheloy limko, he swore that he won't sell. Afa piken kono. The Shulchan Aruch paskins in Simen Reish Ches that if you like this Tosfos, if somebody made a shvua that they're not going to sell something, it still works. And the reason for the Shulchan Aruch's psak is because it's a isra shabada miliba. The whole din of yavod loy mahani is only if you went ahead and did something against a pre-existing issa that the Torah made. But an issa that you created, then we don't say yavod loy mahani. That's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Now, in Reish Lamed Aleph, in Yeridea, the Shulchan Aruch takes a different approach. Over there, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that if you did something against the if you made a shvu not to sell something, yeshayimim the loy mahani, it doesn't work. So it's obvious, first it's a blatant stira. The Shach wants to say it's a suffix in halacha. But the Shach is still not answering why one place the Shulchan Aruch says black and white, that it does work. In Hilchos and Mekach Umemka, Shulchan Aruch paskins that it works. So the Shach does not answer that. Rav Yashiv also is oimed on this stira. Hinei ramo b'yerdei simen reish lamed posak that the mecher is bottle. He says there's a stira between the Ramon and Yeridei and the Ramon and Choshen Mishpat. So he wants to go ahead and maybe make a distinction between these different cases of swearing not to divorce, or swearing not to mekach, but doesn't answer the stira in the Shulchan Aruch. The stira in the Shulchan Aruch is the exact case. Both cases are cases of mekach u'memkar. One case, the Shulchan Aruch, in Choshen Mishpat, Shulchan Aruch says if you made a shvu, it does work. And the Shulchan Aruch says in Yeridea that it does not work. If you made a shvu, it does not work. Okay. Let's just chop this ribbis, chelik of the sugin, we'll get back to Bim Halachim in the sugin. Says the Gemara, so where is the machlokes Abaye v'Rava? Beribis Ktsutza. By Ribis Ktsutza. Ribis Ktsutza means Ribis D'Oraisa. The reason why it's called Ribis Ktsutza is two things. In order for something to be Ribis D'Oraisa, you really need two conditions. Condition number one is it has to be a Ribis that was pre-assessed. So in other words, if I lend you $100,000 and you come back and give me $110,000, even if you give it to me l'shem Ribis, say, you know what, I'm giving this to you because you lent me $100,000. I'm giving you back $110,000. That's not Ribis D'Oraisa. That's Avak Ribis. In order for Ribis D'Oraisa to get the halacha of true Ribis, it needs to be that it was pre-assessed. And that's what Ktsutza means. Tzitzit means it was evaluated from before. It was set from before. It was preset. That's number one. And number two, it has to be that the ribbis also is based on something which is definitive. In other words, if let's say you say, if there's a market crash, then I want 10% more back. And if there's no market crash, I don't want 10% back. That's also, according to most Rishonim, not ribbis d'oraisa. Because once the ribbis is not definitive, it doesn't have a din of ribbis ktsutza. Similarly, some Rishonim hold, clearly if the principle is not guaranteed, that's also not ribbis d'oraisa. So in other words, if I tell you, I'm lending you $100,000, and I want back $150,000, but I understand that the $100,000 may be lost in the investment. Even if the likelihood of that $100,000 being lost is very, very slim, doesn't matter. That's also not ribbis ktsutza. Ribbis ktsutza means there's a principle that's guaranteed, and according to some Rishonim, the interest has to be guaranteed also. Some Rishonim hold that the interest doesn't have to be guaranteed. The principle definitely has to be guaranteed. And the whole lumdus of every heter iska, the lumdus of every heter iska, is precisely that. What a heter iska is really doing is taking a slight risk on the principal. The risk is so small that people are comfortable with a heter iska. But every heter iska, in order to be effective, it's basically taking an investment, a loan, and turning it into an investment. In halacha, how do you do that? You can't put your hands on it and give it a bracha, it's an investment. You have to make something different about the terms. So the term difference is that the principal is not 100% guaranteed. So it doesn't matter. I could tell you, you know what? If it happens to snow for 3 weeks straight and we have an accumulation of 80 inches, I don't have to give you back your money. That's not ribbis ktsutza. It's the likelihood of having that. It could happen. That's already called not guaranteed. So every heter iska, the lumdus of every heter iska, if you look at a heter iska, the standard heter iska, is basically you're saying that if you promise with a Sefer Torah and Edim and you that you exactly what you did with the money from the minute you took it from me till the minute the money was lost, then you don't have to pay me back. Now, I'm not worried that you're going to swear on a Sefer Torah and you're going to have Edim what you did with the money from the second it left my hands till. I'm not worried about that. But the fact is, that is a risk. If after you took the $100,000 from the guy, you took two Edim and had them follow you around with the money, a guy who writes a heter iska could lose the money. Just the likelihood of that happening is kimat not there. But that turns it from into halva into an iska. And that's why if you're doing a regular business deal, you don't need a heter iska. I have this a lot. People come to me with a business deal. They want a heter iska. You don't need a heter iska. Heter iska is basically to take a loan and turn it into an iska. If you have a real iska, that's the most kosher thing in the world. In other words, if I give somebody $100,000 and there is a risk, a real risk. That's not a shiloh of ribbis. Once there's a risk, halachically, you can even call it a loan. Doesn't matter then what you call it. Okay, I'm lending the business $1 million. If there is any risk in that to that money, that's not ribbis. Because that's, by halacha terms, that is an investment. A loan, by definition, is something that has no risk, other than the person being a ganav and running away. But between you and him, there's no risk. That's the definition of alvo. He's taking full achrayas on the money. Once there's anything lacking, that all this lies in ribbis ktsutza. So aloha is, so if it has all the conditions, it's yoytze. So the Gemara says, according to this, ribbis ktsutza yoytze b'dayanim, the Gemara is assuming, according to Abaya, you can't collect the ribbis back. You can't, in other words, once you've collected the ribbis, the guy can't come to you and ask you for his ribbis back because it works. Even though loy savid, even though there's a lav to take ribbis, but once you did it, it's effective. According to Rav, the Gemara is assuming it's ineffective. The Gemara wants to say that this machloikis, if ribbis ktsutza is yoytze b'dayanim and not yoytze b'dayanim, depends on Abaye v'Rav. If you hold like Abaye, then ribbis ktsutza is ain't a yoytze b'dayanim. Once you gave the ribbis, it's too late. You can't get it back. According to Rava, ribbis ksutza is yoytze b'deya. That's the Gemara's assuming. There's a problem with the Gemara's assumption here. We'll see, but that's the Gemara's assuming. Says the Gemara, Amalei hasam b'svara pligi. They're not arguing there in svara. Hasam b'kroy pligi. It's a machlekes had a darsh in the psukim. Dom Rav Yitzchok, my time with Rabbi Yochanan, why does Rabbi Yochanan say that ribbis ksutza does not go out b'dayonim? Omar Krol, because the Torah says clearly, B'neshech nosan v'tarbis lokach, a guy did ribbis, v'chai lo yichye. The Pasuk says the conclusion is he won't live. Meaning, the investment he'll keep, but living he won't live. L'chayim nitin. His life will be taken away, v'lo ilah yishov. So the reason why ribbis ksutz is not, doesn't get returned according to Rabbi Yochanan, has nothing to do with Yavad Mahani, Yavad Loi Mahani, it's a separate Pasuk. Now, what's interesting is that the Gemara doesn't now go back and say, well, one second. So now, everybody seems to hold, not like Abaya. Because according to Abaya, what do you need these psukim for? According to Abaya, automatically, ribbis ksutza should not be yoytze b'dayon. Right? Because it's Yovet Mahani. In other words, for some reason, the Gemara starts off by saying, L'choyer, it is machlekes Abaya v'Rava. If Ribbis Ksutza goes out or doesn't go get returned. If you hold it's Mahani, then it should not get returned. If you hold Loi Mahani, it should get returned. The Gemara then says, no, over there there's Psukim. Yes, and now one second. According to Abaya, what do you need Psukim for? According to Abaya, you shouldn't have to return Ribbis. Because of the regular halacha, of the Ovid Mahani. But that the Gemara doesn't not bother by that. Now the Gemara goes on. Ravacha Baradom Mehoch Vyas Malkechani Hashem. Lemoira Nasat of Loy Leshav. And again, it's like a mute. Hashem is basically saying, listen, I'll take care of you. You're not going to return it. Ravom Mehocha. It says in the Pasuk Hatayevis, Hoel Osam Mois Yumas Dom of Boy. And the Pasuk then says, for Hoylid ben Poritz, he will give birth to a troubled son, Shefich Dam. Hukshu malave ribis, it puts malave ribis l'shev chedamim. Ma shev chedamim, just like a murderer, can't pay for his murder. Loi nitin l'heshavan. Af malave beribis, loi nitin l'heshavan. So somebody who gives ribis does not pay it back. V'om rav nachem ba'yitzik, my time, v'om akro v'cheyach ichi imach, ahadr le ki heched enich ki imach. So it comes out, the one who says you do give it back has a different reason why you give it back. Because v'cheyach ichi imach, says the Gemara, ela b'mai kamiflugi. Now the Gemara goes back together. The Gemara says, what's the machloikas? Abaye v'rova b'shinu kana. Machloikas, abaye v'rova, we go back to the beginning of the sugya. The machloikas is b'shinu kana, which we really didn't resolve yet, that l'chayra should have nothing to do with the Yavad Mahani or Yavad Loi Mahani. We had the Nesivus' kash and we didn't come to any kind of clarity on that. So according to this side of the Gemara, the machloikas Abaya v'Rova is l'gabi shinu kaina. According to Abaya, shinu is kaina, and according to Rova, shinu is not kaina. That seems to be what the Gemara is saying here in the conclusion. Besides the fact that we didn't understand how shinu has anything to do with the Yavad Mahani, Yavad Loi Mahani, because shinu kaina is even if it happens by itself, so it has nothing to do with the Yisra. Besides that, it seems very difficult to say that the entire Shas, we say shinu is a kinyan, is going like a bayah. First of all the Rishonim who paskin like Rava are going to have a serious problem. Because we paskin shinu yitzkan. We paskin shinu does work. In the entire Shas, we all shinu yitzkan. And according to Abaya, that's only according to Abaya, according to the maskan of the Gemara. According to Rava, shinu should not work. So we'll go back to have a better understanding in the sugya here. I want to tie it into that Tosfos in Bava Kama. The Gemara Bava Kama brings this pasuk that our sugya discusses as the source on Daf Samach Vav that Shinu is koine from Asher Gaza. But Tosfos on Samach Zion, Tosfos has a lengthy discussion exactly what Shinu does. In the middle of Tosfos that we underlined here, Nira Lari, he says that Yish on its own is not a kinyan. Yish only works together with a Shinu. And then he says, that if Tosfos says, but wherever there's a din of shinui koina, Tosfos says there's no problem with mitzvah b'avera. So in other words, if you stole something and then you made a shinui, Tosfos is saying not only do you acquire that item, but there's no din of mitzvah b'avera. In other words, it's not called a chefetz hagoza. Tosfos seems to be saying that if yish would work, would be a kinyan, and shinui would be a kinyan, there still would be a difference. Something that you'd be koina through the process of yish would be a mitzvah b'aver. So let us assume that yish is a kinyan, and I went over to somebody and I stole his luluf. And I didn't do anything to the luluf, I just stole the luluf. And the guy was miyayish. Assuming that that yish would work, there would still be a problem of mitzvah b'aver. Because the bottom line is, I got this object through stealing it. See, even though I was coined it through yush, it still would be possible. But Tosfos says, but if you were coined it through shinui, then there would not be a problem of mitzvah habava there. Tosfos doesn't explain why, but that's what he says, and he proves it from several sugyas. And the only question he has is from the Gemara that says that if you grind, if you stole chitin, and you grinded it, and you made it into flour, and then made it into dough, and you were mafresh challah, the Gemara says you can't make a bracha on the hafresh challah. So it sounds like you don't get the mitzvah of challah, because the mitzvah of avera. Tosfos says, why is it a mitzvah of avera? So Tosfos says, no, it isn't the mitzvah of avera. He says, a bracha is like super sensitive. You don't make a bracha on something that you got through exil. But really, it's not a mitzvah of avera. That means if you come to Tosfos, ask Tosfos, halacha l'maaseh. You stole a truckload of grain. You put it through a processing plant. They grinded it. They kneaded it. Chayim and chalim, they're rice, according to Tosfos. It's only, you don't make a bracha on it because a bracha is very sensitive. We don't make a bracha on something that came about through a gneva. But Tosfos holds it's not a mitzvah of avir. Don't try to get a better handle. What does Tosfos mean that if you stole something and you made a shinui, now, it's not even a problem of mitzvah b'avera. Why is it not a problem of mitzvah b'avera? So it should be a problem of mitzvah b'avera.
The Gemara says again, the Gozom L'Rash, the Bar Mitzvah, the same thing. It's called a Shoma. Because you want the Shoma.
Tosfos brings that down as well, that case. The Shaila is, why isn't it still a mitzvah b'avera? It should still be a mitzvah b'avera. Now, if Tosfos would say that by yish it also wouldn't be a mitzvah b'aver, then I don't have a problem. Why? Because there are two ways to look at mitzvah b'aver. One way to look at mitzvah b'aver is like this. This object, you did an avera, the object has like a mum. It has a blemish. Can't be used for a mitzvah. The avera was the thing that got you this object, you can't use it for a mitzvah. Okay, that stays forever. There's no way to run away from it. This object will always be a mitzvah b'avera. That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is no. Mitzvah b'avera really just means you can't do a mitzvah through an avera. So if the avera is facilitating the mitzvah, it's a problem. So, l'mashal, if I stole this object yesterday, right? And now I was claiming it with yush. And now it's mine. And now tomorrow I want to go and take it and use it for luluf. No problem. Because the fact is, me shaking the luluf on Yom Tif has nothing to do with the gneva anymore. The gneva was done. Now it became mine. And now my usage of the object is no longer an avera. No problem. Then we don't have an issue. Because then we're consistent. In order for something to be mitzvah of avera, it has to be the luluf right now is still stolen. So right now my mitzvah is an avera. Right now, my use of the lulav is an avera. That's an easy guideline. We don't look at the history. We don't look at the history of this object. We don't care where it was. Havayda Zora, Geneva. We care one thing. When you're doing the mitzvah, you're not doing an avera. That's an easy guideline. Then we have no problem. If Tosfos would say that, everything would be clear. Tosfos is just mapping out what mitzvah of avera is. Mitzvah of avera means you have an object that you're doing an avera while you're doing a mitzvah. No good. That's fine, no problem. That's not what Tosfos is saying. Tosfos is saying the fact is that if you have an object that you did an avera with it yesterday or a week ago, the object is still today possible to do a mitzvah, even though the avera I did was a week ago, right? But if you do a shinoi, then you could use the object. If you were coined through a shinoi, now you could use the object, even though I did an avera with this object. It doesn't make a difference. So what I think we see here is like this. There are really two separate ways to understand what happens when somebody makes a gneva. What happens to that object? How much does that object go into their rishus? There's actually a Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Ayin Beis, where the Gemara over there has a discussion. If somebody steals something while he's a Boba Machteris, so a guy breaks into somebody's basement, he steals, while he's in the basement, he steals an object, and he runs out with the object. Okay? While he's in your basement, you're allowed to kill him. That's the din of Baba Machteres. Baba Machteres, you're allowed to kill him while he's in your basement. Why? Because it's a dangerous situation. Somebody could get killed here, so he's like a roidif. You're a roidif, he's a roidif, so while the guy is in your basement, you're allowed to kill him. The minute he leaves your basement, not allowed to kill him anymore. Nobody's life is in danger anymore, you're not allowed to kill him. That's the Gemara. Comes the Gemara says, what's the halacha with the object that he took out of your basement? Why is he broke into your house? He pulled out he took a menorah, and he ran out with the menorah. What's the halacha with the menorah? So one man, the Amr in the Gemara says, he does not have to give you back the menorah. Why doesn't he have to give you back the menorah? Because while he was in the basement, there was a din of komle b'derabe minei. Yeah? While he was in your basement, you were able to kill him. So, since you were able to kill him, the monetary obligation is void. Just like if a guy comes to Besdin, and he's chai of misa, he's chai of momen. We give him the misa, we don't give him the momen. Same thing over here, the guy was in the basement. Since while he was in the basement, he was chai of misa. Even though that chai of misa now is gone, it was only while he was in there I could kill him. Now he's walking down the street with my menorah. He's walking down the street with my $1,000 menorah. So one man d'omer says, b'domim kaninu, it's his. The other man d'omer says, what are you talking about? The menorah is there, give me back my menorah. What are you talking about? I'm talking about my menorah. If he took my menorah and he broke it while he was in the basement, then everybody agrees he's put. Come labor the rabbi minute. Because there, the menorah is not here anymore. But if the guy's walking down the street with my menorah, how could he have a... Komlei b'derabbanan is not a kinyan. Komlei b'derabbanan is not a kinyan. It's a p'tur. So it doesn't make sense. How could it be that the guy's walking away with my menorah and he's potter? It's not a question. It doesn't make sense. This is the cop. The lashon of the Gemara is b'domim kaninu. So the literal taich, art scroll taich, is Domim Kaninu. With Komlei b'derabbanan, he acquired it. Like as though Komlei b'derabbanan is a Kenyan. You can acquire something. What? It's meaningless. That's a Pelanifla. So, this kash is asked by many. The Rishonim allude to the question. The Chassam Sofer, based on the Yad Ramah and the Bala Moyer there in Sanhedrin, Chassam Sofer says a brilliant idea. He says that really, when somebody steals something, really there's kinyon gneiva. So when I steal something, in a sense, I really should own it. That kinyon is called kibush. Just like we find by land. If you conquer land, it's your land. Right? If we go to Eretz Yisrael, we conquer land, it becomes our land because we took it over. So really, same thing. If I steal your cellular phone, okay, so I conquered it. Kibush. It's mine now. I conquered it. What do you mean? Because you're stronger than me? You pulled it away? Yeah. Listen. Some people conquer land. I conquer cell phones. I conquered it. The Teretz is, says the Chassam Sofer, says it's true. Every Gneva really has a kinyan in it. But he says, there's a mitzvah v'heshev. V'heshev is akzeil, shall we get back to your pasuk? There's a mitzvah to give it back. That pasuk stops the kinyan from being chal. The obligation of returning it, that stops the kinyan from being chal. So it's almost like on the one hand, There's a kinyan being done. On the other hand, there's something that's attacking the kinyan. And the Veheshev Zagzela leaves you without ownership on the object. Says the Chassam Sofer, that mandamer in the Gemara holds that Kom Le B'Derabba Minei patters you from the mitzvah of Veheshev. So it's not that Kom Le B'Derabba Minei is a kinyan. Kom Le B'Derabba Minei cancels the Veheshev. Now that there's no Veheshev, I got it. I acquired it. Here's a case where I acquired an object where you weren't able to throw any other obligations at me because Kom Le B'Derabba Minei. So now it's mine. That's how he understands. So that opinion in the Gemara holds that the only thing you need by Gneva is to get rid of that there shouldn't be a Veheshev Zagzela. That's all. And that's why it becomes yours. Now we come back to our sugya. In our sugya, there are really two ways to learn how Shinui is a kinyan. One is that Shinui is a kinyan. There's a kinyan called Meshicha, Hagbor, Kesef. There's a kinyan called Shinui. Shinui works. Shinui is a kinyan. That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is no. All Shinui does is disengages the Veheshev Zagzela. Shinui comes and says, you know what? This object is not the same object that you stole. You don't have to give this object back. You know why? Because the object is not what you stole. It's different. It has a different characteristic than what you stole. And therefore, you give back money. So the Shinui really, what the Shinui is really doing is just making that it's not Kain Shegozal. Now there's no Veheshev. Now that there's no Veheshev, now the halacha is that you can give back money. Simple. Okay, now, you still chayev to give money. You still have to pay money. But the object now is yours. Because after all, the Veheshev went away. Big difference between these two ways of looking at it. First of all, the pasuk. If you hold that the reason why the Shinui is koina is just like Meshich is koina and Hakbor is koina and Kesef is koina, then you need to have das. You need to want to be koina the object. If you don't want to be koina the object, you're not koina. It doesn't work. It's ineffective. If you learn that Shinui just gets rid of the Veheshev, it really has nothing to do with you. The Shinui changes the object, so now on this object there's no Veheshev. Now that there's no Veheshev, so it's yours. So really, the fact that it turns into being your object is not because you did a Maisa Shinui, it's because you don't have the Veheshev. By default, you don't have that object anymore to give back. The object that you stole. So we could say now very simple. The Gemara all along knew that Shinui is a kinyan. The Gemara knew that. From many sugyas and shas, the Gemara knew that Shinui is a kinyan. But the Gemara only knew about the kinyan Shinui. Kinyan Shinui means you have intent to be kind of something with Shinui. Like a person, you give him a beged to die. So the halacha is that the uman, the one who you gave it to, actually gets a schus in the keli because he made it different. He took a white keli, he turned it red. So he's koina b'shevachli, he gets a bilus in that keli. That, of course, is only chal because he has das. Like all kinyanim, das to be koina. And at that point, the Gemara feels, if Shinui is a regular kinyan, the Gemara feels that should only work according to Abaya. According to Rav, it shouldn't work. That's the whole beginning of the Gemara. What's the Ketzais asking? If the Gemara didn't know Shinui works, what's the Gemara talking about? The Gemara knew Shinui works. But the Gemara thought that Shinui works because it's a kinyan. Like any kinyan. Like Meshicha and Hagbah is a kinyan. At that point in the Gemara held that Shinui only works if you have intent. The Nesivus is asking, how could the Gemara have a Hava mean it has anything to do with Abaye Verova? It works by itself. The only reason why it works by itself is because of the conclusion of the Gemara that all it has to accomplish is that there's no Veheshev. But at the beginning of the Gemara didn't know that that's what Shinui is accomplishing. The beginning of the Gemara assumed that Shinui is accomplishing a kinyan. On the tzad that Shinui is a kinyan, you need to have intention to be koinit. And then the Gemara is saying, well, if that's the case, in other words, one way of looking at Shinui is that the kinyan is happening from the gavra. The other way to look at the kinyan of Shinui is that the kinyan is happening mitzad the cheftza. It's a big difference between the two ways. The whole idea of the Nesivus, the whole difficulty of our sugya, is that since we know that Shini works, even if it happens by itself, so it's not a kinyan on the Gavra. It's a kinyan from the object. So it has nothing to do with the din of Kol Milsadam Achman Eloi Sovet. It has nothing to do with that. Kol Milsadam Achman Eloi Sovet is only, the Torah told you not to do something, you did something wrong. That's the whole concept of Kol Milsadam Achman Eloi Sovet. But that's not what the Torah is saying. The Torah is saying that this object is not an object that's returnable. It has nothing to do with you. So that was the whole question of the Nesivis. The answer is that no, the Havamin of the Gemara was that Shinui is a regular standard Kinyan. And therefore you would have to have intention to do the Kinyan of Shinui. And it's a regular Kinyan, just like when you pick something up, you're only kind if you have Das to be kind it. You'd have to do a Shinui. And if a Shinui happened by itself, according to Havamin of the Gemara, it would be ineffective. If you left a bottle outside and it deformed, it would own it. The Gemara then says, no, the Shinui by Gzela is different than a regular Kinyan Shinui. Regular Kinyan Shinui, Taka, the Shinui is an active Kinyan, like Mashiach, Hagbor, Kesef, that kind of Kinyan. But that's not what it is. The Pasuk says, Asher Gozal, Ke'en Shegozal Yoshev. The Torah is saying there's no Veheshev. Oh, so if there's no Veheshev, it really has nothing to do with your Maisa. That's why it works, according to Rav, according to Abaye. There's no Shaila, of course it works. That's the Nafkamina, between the Havamina and Maskana. Now, according to Rav, according to Abaye, you don't need that in the Pasuk. Because according to Abaye, the Shinui alone is a good Kinyan. You don't have to come on to that it got rid of the Veheshev. Because according to Abaye, the Shinui could work like a regular Kinyan. So Shinui still maintains the regular status like any Kinyan in the world. Now we can understand that the Gemara in conclusion still holds that this is a chiluk between Abaye and Rava. Because according to Abaye, the reason why you own an object when you steal it and make a Shinui is because you made an active Kinyan through Shinui. According to Rava, the Asher Gozal is what teaches you that there's no Veheshev. So according to Rav, actually, you'd be kind of even with a shinui that happened by itself. According to Abaye, you wouldn't be kind of with a shinui that happened by itself. So actually, the shilas that are throughout the sugyas and shas, whether a shinui that happens by itself is a kinyan or not, you could say it depends on Abaye or Rav. And actually, it's an apachu. According to Rav, it will work. And according to Abaye, it won't work. Because according to Abaye, the Shini works by Gzela as a regular Kinyan. Not because of it gets rid of the Veheshev, it's like Gzela Asher Gozal. And therefore, it has the same parameters like a regular Kinyan does. You need to have Das, you need to have, everything has to be there. According to Rava, however, the regular Kinyan Shini that you have all over the Torah does not work here. Here it's working out to new halacha. When you make a Shini to the object, it's not, there's no Veheshev. So now it doesn't matter if you made the shinui happened by itself. So actually, Rav is going to come out more broad than Abaye. According to Rav, the shinui is broader of a kinyan than according to Abaye. Because according to Abaye, the shinui is working like a regular kinyan, like always. Because he doesn't have to tackle the issue of kol milsadam rachmano leisavri yavad leimahani. According to him, it works. So therefore, it's working as a regular kinyan. According to Rav, however, it doesn't work for that reason. Because for that reason, it would go under the category of Kol Milsadam Achman Eloi Sovet, Yavad Eloi Mahani. So why does it work? Because it gets rid of the Veheshev. It's on the object. So even if you had no Das at all, doesn't matter. So now, Fakert, what's the Kasha? We paskin like Rava, how does Shinui work by Gzela? Just the opposite. We paskin that even if Shinui happens by itself works. That's because we paskin like Rava. If we would paskin like Abaya, then we would require that you do a Shinui B'maisa, and that you have intention to be kainet. So it's really two different guidelines. Another nafkamina between Abaye and Rava is that according to Abaye, the kinyan is a kinyan Shinui. It's mitzad the person. And therefore, it's not pshat that the object is a different object. According to Rava, the Torah was machadish that an object that changes is a new object. That's why Tosfos says in Bava Kama, if it's a new object, there's no problem with mitzvah b'avera. Yiyush works because it's a kinyan mitzad de gavra. So there's still a problem of mitzvah b'avera, because objectively, this is still the object that I stole. But the lumdus of shinoi is not that I'm doing a kinyan to the object. It's that it's not that same object. So it's not a problem of mitzvah b'avera. That's from Tosis. Tosis going, I'll leave it to Rava, the way we hold. We hold that shinoi can't be working because it's a ma'isa kinyan. If it'll be a ma'isa kinyan, it'd be a problem of komus l'or machman l'oy sovet. You have a loy ma'ani. So it's working only because the object is not the same object. So if that's the case, it's not a problem of mitzvah b'avera either. That's the pshat in Tosis and Bava Kama. Okay, we'll stop here.